The first rains of winter signal the start of the olive harvest in the Palestinian West Bank. The harvest, upon which so many people depend, is traditionally a time for hard work and celebration. But there's tension and sometimes violence too. I'm Jeremy Bowen, and this is The Documentary on the BBC World Service. In a land where everything is politicised, so is the olive harvest. The olive tree has become a potent symbol to Israelis and Palestinians in the struggle for the land they both want. And the olive harvest has at times been a very serious flashpoint.
This tree stands as a symbol to the Palestinian people, a history and a civilization. How many generations have passed by it and are now gone, yet the tree is still here today and bearing fruit.
This is our land. When I see an Arab with a tree, I say, this is Israel. This is the land of Israel. Are they your trees? Then take them to your village. This is our land.
I'm going to be traveling through the Israeli-occupied West Bank and into Israel itself, to talk to the people who are involved in this struggle, not just to gather in the harvest, but also to control the future of this place. Well, an early winter mist is clearing a little bit, the sun's struggling to come through, and I'm standing on a hill in the village of Walija, on the West Bank, not very far from Bethlehem, not far from Jerusalem. And we're heading for what is supposed to be the oldest olive tree in these parts. We've walked down the hill a little bit, down these ancient terraces, and I see a man. Salah's coming, he's the custodian of the ancient tree. Salaam alaikum, Salah.
Salaam alaikum, Salah.
This is it. We've arrived at this enormous olive tree with a vast trunk in the middle. I mean, if I put my arms around part of it, I can't even span a quarter of it. How old is this tree?
I'm not sure. Only God knows. But it might be around 4,000 years old or more. I am honored to be this tree's servant. I feel so connected to this tree. It's as if it's part of my body and soul.
As we've been talking, I've been rubbing my hand down this very gnarled section of wood. It's lost its bark right at the core of the tree, and it's rock hard, and you feel like this is something that's been here for a very long time, seen all the occupations of Jerusalem, the violence, the wars, children being born, and it's still here.
This is life. Like water. Honestly, I love this tree. I have a relationship with this tree. I know what it needs, what pains it. When I'm around it, I feel safe. I would give it my sweat. This tree stands as a symbol to the Palestinian people, a history and a civilization. How many generations have passed by it and are now gone, yet the tree is still here today and bearing fruit.
We come back to Saleh's house. His wife's somewhere in the back, and his two small boys have joined us for the bit I've been looking forward to, the tasting. So, first of all, I've got an olive. Delicious. There's some sweetness and sharpness and lemon in there, and I've got some bread, and I'm going to dip it in the oil. Clear, quite thick. Tuscany, Greece, forget it. Fantastic. Of course, there are rivals for the title of oldest tree, especially here on the Mount of Olives, in Jerusalem, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as ever, the place is full of tourists and pilgrims this morning. Now, some say the huge olive trees here were standing on the night Christians believe Jesus came and sweated blood at the thought of arrest and crucifixion. And from up here on the Mount of Olives, you get the classic view of old Jerusalem. But you can see the modern parts of the city as well, including the settlements for Jews that Israel has built on territory it captured in the 1967 war. That's forbidden by international law, and it's taking big chunks out of the land that the Palestinians want for an independent state. I've come to the Palestinian village of Yasuf, which is deep in the heart of the olive-producing country in the northern part of the West Bank, near the town of Nablus. I'm at the house of Bassem Rashid and his wife Naja, and they're harvesting their olives here. She's got a small plastic rake and he's got a device with paddles at the end which are knocking off the olives, and they're landing on a plastic sheet. Now, this couple have other trees up near the settlement of Tapuach, where there are Jews who believe that this land should belong to them. And they are not able to get to those trees. And worse still for Bassem and Naja, they heard only a couple of days ago that those trees up there, some they say 100 years old, have been cut down by the settlers.
It feels like bringing up a child and then losing him. Those trees are our base and roots. We felt we were burying a family member. Every week the settlers try to come down to our land. Our men try to stop them and fight them. Those settlers say we should be the ones to leave. We prefer to die in our land. Let them cut the trees, destroy the land, demolish the homes, and attack the children. We will still remain in our land. We won't ever leave, and if they don't, this will continue to be an everlasting war.
What effect has all this, the problems with the olives, the presence of the settlement, the occupation, what effect has that had on your family?
We have a lot less to harvest. We can't get to that land to get the oil and the olives. We used to take the kids and the old people out with us to the harvest, but we don't anymore. We fear trouble or getting beaten up, because even if we try to defend ourselves, it becomes our fault, and we're taken to jail or harassed, and we lose our traveling permits.
According to the UN Office for Humanitarian Affairs, attacks by Jewish settlers in the last 5 years on Palestinians and their property have destroyed around 50,000 fruit trees, mainly olives. Palestinian farmers get a quarter of their incomes from olives, but it's about more than money. The trees are the most powerful symbol of Palestinian attachment to the land. The Israeli occupation of the West Bank, including East Jerusalem, breeds violence. Jewish settlers and Palestinians attack each other. Some Jewish settlers move to the occupied territories to get cheap housing. But extremists in ideological settlements believe the land is theirs alone, and the trees are a legitimate target. Back in the car now, and just going up the hill to the Jewish settlement, Tapuach. It's just a short drive. Hey, Abraham.
Shalom.
Shalom. I'm Jeremy.
Shalom.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
How are you?
Thank God. Wonderful. We had rain a few days ago.
Their leader, almost a guru to the young people here, to the young Jews here, is called Avraham Herzlich. As well as being a charismatic and influential man in the community, he is a goat shepherd, a goat herd. He has a flock, and he's out here on the hills at the moment. And his animals are in the Palestinian olive groves, and they're eating the leaves of the trees.
And now you're on the land of Israel. This is the land, you see. The land is very rugged.
Explain to me your relations with the local village, because the local village say all this is their land.
Oh, the Arab village, Yusuf.
Yusuf, yeah.
Yeah, some of their trees are here.
What do they feel about your goats eating their olive trees?
Well, I tell them very simply, this is our land. I when I see an Arab with a tree, I say, this is Israel. This is the land of Israel. Are they your trees? Then take them to your village. This is our land. It's not their land.
I guess they say this is their village land.
Well, they can say what they want to say. We're here to stay. These trees are on our land. This is our land.
Well, your land because Israel captured it.
Or capture the land, whatever you say. It's coming back to the possessors of the land. You see, this book, this is Torah. The Torah tells us this land was given to the people of Israel, to the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac and Jacob, not to Yishmael. This is our land.
So not to the Arabs, This is our country.
Not at all. Not at all. Of course not. Not at all. I speak to the Arabs. I tell them, I don't want to see them dying. They have to leave. Because if they don't leave, they're going to die here. They're going to die here.
How are they going
to?
Who's going to?
There's going to be another war. Next war, it's going to be a very difficult war. You see, there are many that speak about peace with the Arabs. But a person that suffered so directly, the Arabs killed my daughter and made my grandchildren orphans. You cannot measure the pain. The epitome of brutality are these people. They can explode themselves.
Abraham went back to reading the Torah, the Bible, which he likes to do when he's out with his goats. The first Jewish settlers, the early Zionists, were mainly secular. Their conflict with the Palestinians was, first of all, about possession of land. But religion is more prominent now on both sides. Some Jewish settlers, like Abraham, believe that God gave the land to them. And Islamists, on the other side, are a big part of Palestinian nationalism. If you think you're doing God's will, there isn't much room for negotiation. Tension's always high around here, and in this part of Jerusalem there's just been an attack on some Israelis. So the police, the military are out in force. You see guns, there are sirens, there's confusion. Palestinians argue that if there wasn't an occupation, there wouldn't be attacks. The Israeli government disagrees and insists it must protect its people by building walls and fences, the so-called West Bank separation barrier. But that doesn't follow the boundary Israel had before it captured the West Bank and East Jerusalem in 1967. It cuts through Palestinian land and separates some Palestinian olive farmers from their trees. I'm in the olive groves of the village of Anin in the northern West Bank, quite near the boundary with Israel. I'm right up against what the Israelis call their security fence. Palestinians call it an apartheid or segregation wall. And the problem for the people of Anin, the farmers here, is that it goes through their lands. And so to get to the olives on the other side, they have to wait for the army. Two Israeli soldiers have arrived at the fence, and one of them is now unlocking the gate. And half a dozen Palestinian farmers are on their way out. One of them's got a tractor. Two of them have got tractors. What's your name?
Mahmoud.
been working hard in there?
Working here, very, very hard.
The complaint of the farmers here is that, yes, they do get access during the harvest, and the gate is only open even then for limited periods during the day. But for the rest of the year, when they want to maintain the land, look after the trees, they can't get at it. It is a once-a-year visit that they do to harvest the olives themselves. Just arriving at the small olive press in the village, farmers' tractors outside. They brought their olives fresh from the trees, and the smell coming out of here is absolutely fantastic. It's the smell of fresh olive oil. Quite a simple process in here. At one end, they pour in the olives, complete with some stalks and leaves. They go up the conveyor, they get shaken about, pushed through another machine, and at the other end, olive oil comes out. There are small farmers here. A lot of them have picked their olives on the other side of the Israeli separation barrier, so it hasn't been easy. I'm sitting outside the Canaan Fair Trade Olive Press, home of the olive.
That's right.
It says here, and I'm with Nasser Abu Farha, who's the owner and an oil exporter. And sitting in front of us are two deep dishes. Sorry, I'm salivating slightly as I say this. Two deep dishes of green, pungent, peppery, freshly pressed olive oil. Describe what it is we're eating.
Well, what we're tasting now is olive oil that's pressed today, very fresh. Farmers pick it the same day, bring it here to this press.
This is delicious, but my goodness me, it's pungent.
Absolutely, and it tickles your full mouth. Not every olive oil does that.
Now, not far from here, there are Jewish settlements which are known for mounting raids on the trees, cutting them down, burning them, sometimes stealing the finished oil. From your point of view, what does that say to you about the situation here?
I wouldn't blame it all on the settlers. I think the settlers are more encouraged. In areas where the government have fenced these areas as security buffer zones for their settlements, somehow this fencing and barring the farmers from regularly tending their farms becomes a perception to the settlers that maybe this farmer shouldn't be there in the first place. That I would put more of the blame on the system.
In their search for a state, Palestinians have tried violence, tried diplomacy, they've tried negotiations. Do you think business and exporting and oil could be another route towards cementing the roots of the state that people want to have here?
For us to even have an economy, we have to have a state. And for a state to be viable, it has to have a strong economy. An independent Palestine will make, for sure, the life of Palestinian farmers much more livable, because we're looking at an olive crop that's worth about $200 million in the West Bank. It could become $400 million if we had access to our own resources.
I've crossed from the West Bank to Israel, and it's a very different approach here in the olive harvest. The farm here is called the Olive People. They have 7,000 trees, flat land, not mountainous like the West Bank, and they're using a machine to harvest the olives. An extraordinary sight. The machine grabs the trunk of the tree, gives it a good shaking. Some of the workers hit the branches as well to get the olives off. It is very, very big contrast to the old artisanal methods that they use in the Palestinian areas. I'm heading in to meet the producer here, Yaniv Zaban. I'm going in now into his air-conditioned bottling and storage area. There are modern stainless steel vessels, racks of attractive bottles. There's been an investment here.
This one, it's a Spanish variety. It's called Arbequina. It's very mild, not bitter, it's not spicy. very much.
Quite a light yellowy green.
You can smell it. It
smells very aromatic. Aromatic, for grassy.
The other one is Suri. It's much more spicy.
Oh, I can really feel it in my throat, yeah. Wow. That's got quite a kick.
Very different.
Now this area, this is quite near Gaza. Were you hit around here by rockets during the war?
Yes, all the open fields, when they say rockets fell on the open fields, they mean here.
So your open fields, with your olive trees here. Do you have any sympathy for what the Palestinians say, which is because of the political situation in the West Bank, settlements, roads and so on, they've lost a lot of their land, lost quite a lot of their trees. As an olive farmer here, how do you view that? Do you view that as an Israeli or as an olive farmer?
If my tree is taken away from me, I don't know how I can deal with it. So
you'd be upset?
Yes, of course. Everyone that grows trees, not only olives, that walk the land, when he sees stuff like this, it's making him uncomfortable.
I've come from Israel into the occupied West Bank to a beautiful area of hills, but this is a controversial place because up over to my right are a number of Jewish settlements, quite radical ideological ones. And here on the adjoining hill, there is a timeless area of terracing and olive trees and Palestinians farming them. The IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, they say they work very hard to try to protect Palestinians. Palestinians, of course, complain that they don't. And I'm with two lieutenants from the Army's civil administration, Yamatir and Or Malki. They say that they work very hard to try to keep the settlers and the Palestinians apart.
The places we know there's potential for friction, we coordinate everything in advance, and there's a lot of forces, police forces, you can see
police, we have the brigade forces, we have border police forces, we have a very good preparation with them, okay?
We of course condemn every criminal act.
You know, there's a military occupation of here, and in the end, isn't your first duty to protect Israelis rather than Palestinians?
No.
The IDF is here to make sure that the order is keeping with both population. It's a very hard job, okay? It's not easy, but we do our best.
I mean, maybe it works around here, but you know, I've been traveling around various olive groves in the last few days, and certainly, you know, a lot of the farmers have said, well, we've had trouble with the settlers up there, they've cut the trees. See, people who have to go through the barrier to get to their trees, they say, you know, sometimes the army doesn't turn up and let us in, or they say, come back tomorrow, and they're full of complaints.
I can tell you, in our district and in the areas where we need to open gates or whatever to let them go to the lands, the army is prepared anytime, anywhere. Of course, there's some tension in general between the settlers and the Palestinians, it's no secret, but we're here to make sure that they understand each other and they can live quite peacefully next to each other.
I've just been offered a cup of coffee by Abdullah Nassen, who's the Palestinian who's the owner of this land.
You sure you don't want anything to drink?
No,
I'm not going to charge you. I mean, it's cold. It's up to you.
So maybe some water.
So we're sitting here now watching the harvest, and Abdullah, the landowner, is sitting here and he's offered some drinks to the Israeli soldiers. Do you guys get on all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Of course. There you go, that's the truth. What's the reality? I mean, they say that they do a great job protecting everybody in this area.
Well, when they're here, when there is a conflict, they push us back and they let the settlers do whatever they want. But the nice thing about them, when they're here, the settlers don't come around.
When they're not here?
When they're not here, they come around, they push us around with guns.
The settlers?
The settlers.
How important are olives in terms of constructing an independent state?
It's a symbolic issue. This is the only thing that we have left, to be honest. What else can we grab on? We have to hold on to the trees. Our goal is to protect our land.
Now, in its own way, what's happening in this valley is a microcosm of the entire conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. One fundamental aspect of it, not the only one, but a vital thing to understand, is that there is one piece of land, and historically there have been two peoples who want it. The whole point of the peace process, now collapsed of course, was to find a way to divide it between them. Travelling around the harvest, I've seen that what they have instead is no kind of acceptable status quo. Ask Bassem and Najah Rashed, the couple whose olive trees were cut down by settlers. Or in Israel, the olive producer, Yaniv Zaban, looking on uncomfortably as he sees Palestinian farmers' trees being destroyed. Jewish settlers, like Avraham Herzlich in Tepuach, seem fairly content under the current Israeli government. The force is with them. But the way things are, there isn't just a risk of more bloodshed, it's certain. That's not good for any Palestinian or Israeli, and at a time when the whole world can feel the impact of the tumult in the Middle East, that's not good for the rest of us either. Olive Wars was presented by me, Jeremy Bowen, and produced by Kara Swift.